180,000 people have come to New York City seeking asylum, but although the city initially promised to take care of everybody, some officials are now having second thoughts about that decision for some reason.
Police body cam video just released of the attack of two NYPD officers near Times Square.
Mayor Adams is taking a look at the city's sanctuary laws to address the migrant crisis. He's focused on crime and public safety.
We can't have these small number of migrants and asylum seekers hide under the law that there's nothing you can do about it.
This network of thieves predominantly live in the migrant shelter system. They use social media platforms to organize and coordinate their thefts.
The increase in crimes committed by migrants has some wondering if bills signed into law that prevent the NYPD from cooperating with U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement should be reconsidered.
These sanctuary city policies are ridiculous. They're impeding our law enforcement, our officials, and by consequence, they're making all of us less safe.
So a bunch of strange things are happening with the asylum crisis here in the city, which are causing the city's leaders to rethink whether or not New York should remain a sanctuary for immigrants who may face discrimination. And there have been several high-profile attacks on police. And for the first time in a long time, that's got people asking, what are we doing? But even though some officials are changing their mind over this, nobody's talking about how the city's handling of this crisis may have made things worse and may be leading to the exploitation of the very same people it's supposed to be helping.
We can't have these small number of migrants and asylum seekers hide under the law that there's nothing you can do about it because you cannot tell ICE.
Speaker Adams.
So Mayor Adams, a 22-year former NYPD veteran, coming out hard against sanctuary status.
But Mayor Adams has two big problems.
And the first of those is that criminals are coming here specifically because it allows them to hide in plain sight. But the second problem's even worse.
We are not considering laws, changes to laws. These laws have been in effect for decades.
New York City Council Speaker.
So the City Council firing back saying that we shouldn't change the sanctuary city laws because they're very old and they've been around for a long time, and that's the sign that they should be with us forever. Can you imagine if we applied that logic to every law America had ever had? But the city council speaker then goes on to make a point that sounds radical. However, hidden underneath it is the real problem New York is facing.
People are penned up in HERCs, in other places, in respite centers with nothing to do.
So these are HERCs. They're called Humanitarian Emergency Relief Centers. We're talking a lot of beds and a big tent somewhere. But she's right, there's nothing humane about these places. The bathrooms are located in trailers parked underneath a separate tent outside. But the problem is New York's out of money, and these are the only housing solution the city can afford. And the point that the city council is missing and that nobody else is talking about is that New York City's solutions to the problems that it's facing might be making all of them worse.
Which means the city council's right. As controversial as sanctuary city laws are, they are not New York City's real problem right now.
No, critics say the real problem is New York City's right to shelter rules, which guarantee everyone who comes here a free place to stay, because those rules are a source of total exploitation for the very people they're supposed to help.
Critics say those rules are why homelessness is increasing, and why gang activity is increasing along with it,
and why many migrants and asylum seekers are trapped in an endless cycle of poverty they can never escape from. And that happens to everyone because everyone who comes here for a spot in a shelter gets kicked out because they're maxed out.
Migrants, officials say, were living illegally in the two-story building on Kingsbridge Road. Building inspectors, along with the FDNY, discovering 44 beds crammed together in the cellar and first floor.
I just came out of...
So this is the first of many different ways asylum seekers are exploited by the city and the migrant industrial complex. But the fact that people who get kicked out of a shelter and can't get back in have to pay money to live in a dangerous basement that doesn't have adequate fire safety measures in place, people's lives are at stake here.
Also, someone can break the law and make $300 a month per person. But as we'll soon see, there are much more frightening ways the asylum seekers are being exploited.
Because if you come to New York City to take advantage of right to shelter, you will be forced into the criminal underworld, or at least confronted by it very soon after you arrive.
And what's worse is it's been revealed gang leaders are starting to recruit in the city's shelters.
And that's not the only controversial way the city may be aiding criminals. And that's because progressive local organizations that are sympathetic to accused criminals are supporting them financially.
Since being indicted on second-degree assault last week, he was ordered held on $15,000 bail for a second time. A Brooklyn pastor previously paid the bail. More than a dozen immigration advocates showed up to support Court Brito Tuesday.
So this particular court case, this is telling, and it reveals a lot about where the opposition to changing any of New York City's laws is really coming from. Look at all the people that were in that courtroom. It wasn't empty.
This gentleman was arrested after the attack on police officers last month. Plus, he had two other pending cases and was deemed a flight risk. But a local church paid his $15,000 bail so that he could go free. And this place says it's a sanctuary church. On top of that, polling shows most New Yorkers support right to shelter. But what critics say they don't understand is that by offering asylum seekers right to shelter, they're inviting vulnerable people into a system that is set up to ruin their lives. And the problems people experience start immediately after they move in. So here we are by one of the city's emergency shelters. And even though it's a former luxury hotel and one of the better establishments, moving into this place isn't gonna do you any favors.
And that's because everyone who moves in ends up getting evicted at some point. Because although this place has over 1,000 rooms, it's still not enough space to house everybody who's come to New York City requesting right to shelter.
And nobody's talking about the real reasons why this system is unsustainable. First of all, the mayor says he needs $4.6 billion for the next 6 months, which means this year the whole crisis will cost around $10 billion, money the city doesn't have.
And unless New York somehow finds a way to access unlimited money, there will not be unlimited housing. And right to shelter is always going to be temporary.
Immigration advocates gathered on the steps of City Hall in support of legislation that would prohibit implementing caps on shelter stays for New Yorkers experiencing homelessness. That includes asylum seekers.
A shelter system.
So the reason right to shelter advocates want a system that offers unlimited housing is because they understand that the temporary nature of this is the problem. A long-term solution would help people get better established and would protect them. But critics say the money for that will never exist.
Which is why even families with children are having to be evicted.
Single adults get kicked out after 30 days. Families have a 60-day time limit. The city says this is done to free up bed space for new arrivals. And of course, whenever the city moves someone out of the shelter, they claim it as a victory. That person has now learned to self-sustain.
But the reality is that the city doesn't keep track of what happens to people after they leave. They could be anywhere. And critics say the fate that befalls someone who gets kicked out, it puts them in a terrible position.
This article says that half the families who get kicked out never end up coming back to the shelter system.
And that's especially scary when you consider that over 180,000 have come here, but only 65,000 remain in the city's shelters.
That's 80,000 people who are gone and nobody knows where they are.
But before we get into the scary reality of what happens to those who leave the shelters, consider the immense challenges that people living in the shelters face.
They're in a new country where they don't speak the language and they don't have approval to work legally. How does that person leave and provide for themselves?
After they move out of the shelter, they're still going to be relying on somebody else to pay for everything. And to a lot of folks, that's either the government or a gang member.
Or worse, they themselves end up moving into a life of crime.
Police say a ringleader of the group has been recruiting migrants who recently arrived in the city to do his dirty work.
Using stolen mopeds to ride up behind innocent New Yorkers to steal their cell phones.
So this gang member, he was running an operation that involved people using mopeds to snatch handbags and phones from unsuspecting New Yorkers all over town.
And not only did he have operations in New York and in Miami, apparently many of those he recruited had residences in the New York City shelter system. And when arrested, the leader of this gang said that the problem with organized crime is much bigger than him.
And he's right about that, because the shelter system itself gave him an unlimited number of people he could approach to recruit into his operation, because it's trapping people, and so is he.
And although many asylum seekers just want a better life, after becoming trapped in the shelters, to many, crime seems like the only way out.
And that's why the next person on our list was able to illegally exploit so many of the people that were living in buildings just like this. So this might not look like much, but it's an abandoned storefront. There are thousands of these throughout the city, and they're part of the problem too.
Because recently, criminals have been using these abandoned facilities as unofficial shelters. They throw down a bunch of beds in an old restaurant or an old furniture store, and then start charging people to live inside these illegal dwellings.
And remember, the city has a missing, vanishing population of around 100,000 people. That's a massive illegal market for housing. The gang leader, for example, he had a network of illegal apartments all over town that he was letting people stay in as long as they would join his gang and commit crime
time so that he could earn money and afford the place where they live. And in the shelters, you've got many people who are young, they're idle, they can't work, they can't earn a living, and he's saying, hey, just work for me for a little bit, and then you can leave and go live a normal life afterwards. And at best, the people who end up leaving the shelter system are looking at a very long road to legal self-sufficiency if they can even work for a living.
This article mentions that many asylum seekers illegally work under the table, and that's probably not a high enough paying endeavor for someone to afford New York City rent. After all, rents here are some of the highest in the entire country,
recently peaking at $5,600 a month, which is why some people were found sleeping in cars outside of the very shelters they were evicted from.
And that's why to many, living in an illegal storefront that could be dangerous is their best option.
He's been asked to stay out until city orders to vacate are completed, but Ibu Sarr is giving us a look through the front glass and into what housing dozens of migrants over the last several months looked like.
With me, they were happy.
He says it's...
So the person running this operation, he was making tens of thousands of illegal dollars a month.
And this is what these abandoned commercial spaces are like. They're very bare bones, there's pipes, and these places do not have adequate fire systems at all. But if you're a criminal and you know of one of these that's empty and hidden, there's gonna be a temptation to fill it up with a bunch of beds, especially if people are asking you if you know of a place to stay.
One of his shelters had enough beds in it for 74 people to call it their residence. And it's frightening to imagine the tragic loss that would have occurred had there been a fire.
Because everyone there was reportedly charging their e-bike batteries at once.
And then the same kind of call came from a childhood friend.
So I said, okay, you know what? I'll find him a space to give them a bed with my cousin. So this is how it started.
First, it's just a relative asking if you know of an extra place to put a bed. Then word spreads, everyone's asking you the same question, with some people even offering to start paying you.
And in a city with a lot of commercial vacancy, I find it hard to believe the landlords weren't in on these schemes as well. Look at this little place. Ground floor, lots of space in the back away from the windows. Plus, it's got the security gate. You'd probably keep that closed at all times.
And then you could use the side entrance through the apartment building to get in. Apparently, the mastermind was charging $300 a person.
He had 74 beds in one location, 40-something beds in another location,
which is like over $30,000 a month in income between the two establishments.
Next, he turned to a space he rents in Queens.
I'm willing to take the consequences.
Sarr says he's doing it to help his people during the migrant surge that has put pressure on city resources.
And you know something? There's no way this one guy that they caught with two places is the only one in New York using these empty spaces for this purpose.
And I'm not saying he's innocent, but the city's right-to-shelter system enabled all this.
It brought thousands of people here and then made them homeless, quickly forcing them into this guy's apartments.
And remember, these aren't people who can legally work. $300 a month was probably all the money that they had. And even if they do have work authorization, we're probably not talking about employment at Goldman Sachs.
Because the sad reality is that many of these folks have come here with an incredibly limited skill set that is further limited by language barriers and education. And the thing nobody's talking about is even though the invitation to come to New York, seek asylum, and get a place to stay is done in the name of compassion, the results aren't anything you'd wish on your worst enemy. So the real issue for New York City is that a system of exploitation exists, not because we don't want to do the right thing for people that are here and need our help, it's because it's impossible to do the right thing for an unlimited period of time for an unlimited number of people, according to critics.
Advocates of right to shelter rightly point out that it does keep people from living on the streets, but it doesn't help people get apartments of their own, and after 30 days, people wind up on the street if they're a single adult,
which means we're essentially talking about a Band-Aid type solution here. It solves the problem initially, but then it falls off, and the problem underneath hasn't totally healed yet.
And critics say the city's current policies do not put people on a path to success or the American dream.
City Council's aware of this, that's why they don't care if sanctuary city policies remain. And even they understand that the system in place is failing the very people it's supposed to protect, and it also may be exploiting them with the help of the local government.
And that's because the city is now teaming up with some of the worst landlords in town to put shelters in unsafe, dangerous locations,
and they're doing it while working with nonprofits who then turn around and lease properties from those landlords under the guise of humanitarian aid.
And it's recently been exposed that a landlord with a long history of property violations recently purchased a property that the city then suddenly agreed to allow to become a shelter after the prior owners tried to turn that building into apartments and were denied more than 20 years ago. The property sits on a toxic site called New York's Gowanus Canal, which may be dangerous because of the gases and pollution in that environment.
But it turns out the landlord that bought this place, their business business model is to buy properties that then immediately get turned into shelters. I wonder how that works. I wonder which city employees they have on their payroll.
Because controversially, the city went around their own laws to green light this project, saying that it's an emergency situation because of the asylum crisis.
And since a nonprofit is going to operate the system, safety doesn't really matter.
Even though the city is deeming these commercial spaces completely unsafe.
This is happening all over town, not just in this building with others, and it all reeks of corruption and scandal.
And it's built on the backs of people who've come here with absolutely nothing.
On top of that, it's been revealed that when the city rents hotel rooms, they overpay by about half.
And they're even turning bankrupt buildings that are owned by companies who are about to go out of business into shelters.
None of which could ever legally be considered housing.
And that's got many people suggesting that the asylum crisis isn't designed to benefit the very people it's named after.
In fact, the asylum seekers are the losers here. First, they're exploited by cartels to get into the country in the first place.
Then a bus company makes money bringing them to New York. Then the owners of a former luxury hotel make money because it's being used as a shelter.
Then people get a prepaid debit card that is operated by a company that gets a fee based on how much money is given out.
And then after these poor folks are kicked out of the shelters, they're recruited by gang members or they work illegally.
And then they use that money to pay for an illegal bed in a basement somewhere.
Or worse, they get completely swept into the criminal underworld and live as fugitives in this new country.
And what's truly frightening is that 80% of New Yorkers are in favor of right to shelter.
Probably because no one here is willing to have conversations about what this is ultimately leading to.
And look, I get it. America's a great country. There are so many blessings for the people who live here. And to us, myself as a parent, the idea of starving kids, that's a terrible idea.
But critics are saying that the halfway solutions employed by New York are bad for just about everyone.
And the revolving door, asylum industrial complex that New York has created right here, isn't helping those very same people. Instead, it's just benefiting well-connected business owners and city officials at the expense of children.
And it's sold to local New Yorkers that, hey, we're making a difference.
Now, there's nothing wrong with the idea of helping people. But do you think this is being used as a way for big companies to just help themselves?
And is the city doing the right thing by reevaluating things like sanctuary status?
Let me know. I will see you in the next video.